Voice in the Wilderness, Internet Radio. Enlightening the world every week.
It's not just knowing about the doctrine in the Bible. That is not what we stand for here.
Streaming powerful, biblically based messages live on the Internet.
This congregation may never be gathered together again as we see it.
Voice in the Wilderness, Internet Radio. Enlightening the world every week.
Good evening. Welcome to Voice in the Wilderness Internet Radio. We are streaming live on the internet from London. This show is dedicated to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. On tonight's program, we will be discussing the second of a five-part series about victory over sin. We will be studying what the Bible teaches about sanctification. More about our subject after you've heard some music. What is sanctification? We will discuss this subject tonight with answers from the Bible. Have a pen and a paper ready to write down some notes. Tonight, we will be discussing these questions together. What does it mean to be sanctified? Why do we need to be sanctified? How are we sanctified? When are we sanctified? And what examples does the Bible give about sanctification? So before we start our study this evening, let's have a word of prayer together, listeners. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for Voice in the Wilderness, Internet Radio, streaming live on the Internet from London. Lord, I pray that as we continue to study the subject this evening of victory over sin, studying sanctification, I ask that your Holy Spirit may be with us and teach us, is our prayer. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, what does it mean to be sanctified? We read in the book of Leviticus, chapter 11, verse 44, "For I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall ye defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." We read in the book of Leviticus, chapter 20, and verse 7, "Sanctify yourselves therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God." We read in the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 30, and verse 17, "For there were many in the congregation that were not sanctified. Therefore the Levites had the charge of killing of the Passovers for every one that was not clean, to sanctify them unto the Lord." The Bible teaches us that to be sanctified is to be holy. The Bible also teaches us that the Lord our God is holy. It teaches us that to be sanctified is to be clean. To be sanctified, therefore, is to be like the Lord our God. It is to be holy and clean. We read in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, and verse 26, "And God said, Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." We read in the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, and verse 9, "And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world have been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ." We read in the book of 1 John, chapter 4, and verse 8, "He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love." We read in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, and verse 24, "And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." The Bible teaches us that man was made in the image of God, after his likeness. It teaches us that the likeness of God is righteousness and true holiness. The creator of mankind is Jesus Christ, who is the image of God. Therefore, when a person is sanctified, they are holy because they reflect the pure, loving, and righteous character of the Son of God. To be sanctified is to be as holy and pure as Jesus is. Now, why do we need to be sanctified? We read in the book of Exodus, chapter 29, and verses 42 to 43. "There shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, where I will meet you to speak there unto thee. And there I will meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory." When given the instructions for the sacrificial service, Moses was taught by the Lord that the tabernacle of the congregation was sanctified by his glory. The glory of God is its personal presence. As the sacrificial service was set up to teach the children of Israel object lessons, here we see that God was teaching Moses God's purpose for the human soul. We read in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 6, and verses 19 to 20, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Here the Apostle Paul explains again the same object lesson that was taught to Moses and the children of Israel. Man was made to be a living temple, a vessel in which the glory of God, his personal presence, was to dwell. God is to dwell in man through the Holy Ghost. We read in the book of Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We read in the book of 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8, "He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." We read in the book of Amos chapter 3 and verse 3, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" When a person sins and transgresses God's holy law, they separate from God and lose God's personal presence. They lose God's glory because God's Spirit no longer dwells in them. The person is therefore no longer holy. The reason is that God can only dwell in us when we are obedient to him and are walking in harmony with his pure and loving ways. When we sin, we are disobeying God and rebelling against God's government. We are no longer being loyal to our Creator, Jesus Christ. We are walking with Satan, the creature. We read in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17, "If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are." We read in the book of Matthew chapter 15 and verses 18 to 20, "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man." The temple of God, who we were made to be, is defiled when our hearts are evil. By cherishing sin, by thinking about evil things, our minds have become impure and our thoughts are no longer as holy and good as God intended. God has to therefore regenerate and renew the mind in order for it to be holy again. This is the work of sanctification. We read in the book of Genesis chapter 3 and verses 9 to 11 and verse 21, "And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them." We read in the book of Exodus chapter 28 and verses 40 to 41, "And for Aaron's sons thou shalt make coats, and thou shalt make them for girdles, and bonnets shalt thou make for them, for glory and for beauty. And thou shalt put them upon Aaron thy brother, and his sons with him, and thou shalt anoint them, and consecrate them, and sanctify them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office." Listeners, when Adam and Eve sinned, they lost God's presence, which previously covered them, and they became naked. In order to cover their nakedness, Christ clothed them with coats of animal skins. In the service of the tabernacle, Aaron and his sons were made garments for glory and beauty, and they were sanctified in order that they could serve God in the priest's office. In both instances, the clothes were given by Christ himself. And thus here is the object lesson that God is lovingly teaching us. even though we have sinned and lost God's spirit and presence and have become naked before him, Christ will recover us and sanctify us in order that we can be holy and serve God acceptably. God showed his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, how are we sanctified? We read in the book of Leviticus, chapter 20, and verses 7 to 8. Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God. You shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord which sanctify you. We read in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, and verses 9 to 10. Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. The Bible makes it clear that God sanctifies us. We are sanctified by his presence. The means by which God sanctifies us is made plain to us in the book of Hebrews. We are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. The Bible also teaches us that it is the offering of the body of Jesus Christ that establishes the new covenant between God and his people. We studied in the previous radio broadcast that the new covenant is where God promises to write his law in our hearts and minds himself by his Spirit as long as his people agree to be obedient to him. We read in the book of Hebrews, chapter 9 and verse 14, How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Here we see the book of Hebrews explains even further that this is the blood of Christ, his spotless life, that purges our conscience, our minds, from dead works. Notice, to serve the living God. Thus we see once more that our minds need to be sanctified, cleansed from evil, in order to serve God. Let's have a break for some music.
Every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart, I will pray. Every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart, I will pray. Every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart, I will pray. Every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart, I will pray. Upon the mountain my Lord spoke, out of his mouth came fire and smoke. There's not but one train that runs its track, it runs to heaven, runs right back. Every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart, I will pray. Every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart, I will pray. I went to the valley, I didn't go to stay. My soul got happy, and I stayed all day. Looked all around me, and it looked so fine. I asked the good Lord if all was mine. Every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart, I will pray. Every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart, I will pray. Every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart, I will pray every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart, moving in my heart, moving in my heart. I will pray.
We read in the book of Leviticus, chapter 17, and verse 11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. We read the book of 1 John chapter 5 and verses 11 to 12. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that have not the Son of God have not life. We read in the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. As we studied in our previous radio broadcast, the people of Israel were taught that when the Redeemer would come, Jesus Christ, it would be his life shed through his blood that will make an atonement for the soul. The law of God is eternal, and only one equal with the law could die for the law and meet its eternal requirements. Christ, the Son of God, is the giver of eternal life. He was the eternal God that came in the flesh. This was why God could accept the blood of Jesus Christ provisionally for the sins of the whole world. The merits of Christ's blood, blood given from the life of one who is infinitely powerful and pure, meets the demands of the broken law of God by the sins of the whole world. It is Christ's blood that establishes the new covenant. The blood of Christ does not only pardon our sins, it also cleanses us from all our sins, because the life of Christ that was shed for man's sins has infinite power. In order for us to be sanctified, we need to receive the life of Christ. The Bible explains to us that the life of Christ that was sacrificed on Calvary is received through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Jesus makes this clearer to us in the book of John. We read in the book of John chapter 6, verses 53 to 54 and verse 63. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood have eternal life. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. We read in the book of Philippians chapter 2 and verses 12 to 13. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Jesus teaches us that when we eat and drink his word and take it into the life, that is, to read the Word of God, to think about the Word of God, and seek to live by the Word of God, then his life will dwell in us through his Word, through the power of the Holy Spirit. We receive Christ through his Word. God does not sanctify us against our wills, and we cannot be sanctified by the power of our own wills. Our part is to consent for God to work in his transforming power in us, day by day, and to rely upon him to cleanse our minds from evil. The Bible teaches us that God has to give our minds the power to do his will, because we cannot do his will of ourselves. We can see now, listeners, how really helpless that we are without the power of God to do any good. Now, when are we sanctified? We read in the book of Isaiah, chapter 64 and verse 6, But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. We read in the book of Zechariah, chapter 3, and verses 3 to 4. Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments, and stood before the angel. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, Take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, Behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with change of raiment. We read in the book of Isaiah, chapter 61, and verses 10 to 11, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causeth the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. The prophet Isaiah was inspired to write that all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, in essence, stating that any good that we do of ourselves is not acceptable in the sight of God. This is because as sinners, in our fallen human nature, our minds are tainted with evil. Our minds are not as pure and holy as God's mind is, because we are separated from him. The moment that we choose to accept Christ as our personal Savior and are willing to comply with the conditions of salvation, keeping in a state of repentance and contrition, exercising faith in the atoning merits of the Redeemer, then Christ imparts to us his righteousness through the Holy Spirit, symbolized in the Scriptures as the change of garments. We read in the book of Galatians, chapter 5, and verse 5, For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Those who believe in Jesus Christ as a personal Savior receives Christ's righteousness by faith through the Holy Spirit. The covering of God's presence that was lost by Adam in Eden is imparted to us again spiritually the moment that we accept Christ as a personal Savior from sin by faith. The mind is sanctified at that point, cleansed from sin, as the person no longer chooses to live by his own ideas and to rebel against God, but by the Holy Ghost, through faith in God's word, Christ gives the sinner power to live in harmony with him. His righteousness is given to the believer in him by faith. The child of God can now go forward, free from sin, by faith. Now listeners, this is where so many of us are still at the starting gate of our Christian experience. Many of us do not really believe that our sins are pardoned, and that we have eternal power available to us in Christ to overcome evil. We keep going over all the painful and dark experiences of life, which shuts our minds out from Jesus. But we must realize that Christ pleads with God on our behalf in the heavenly sanctuary. There is nothing that he cannot do. He longs to bring his sunshine and joy into our hearts daily. The greatest joy in life is to be in God's presence. It is to have Christ dwelling in the heart continually by faith. The happiest Christians are those who leave their sins at the cross and who go on forwards by faith, loving him who first loved them. Christ's love for us, listeners, is stronger than death. The atonement is a living reality to all who rely upon the righteousness of Christ through his power, through his word, to live a life free from sin daily. Those who know Christ personally through his word, through the Holy Spirit, know how he has brought them from darkness to light, and how his love is shed abroad in their hearts daily. Thus we see that at any moment in time, sanctification is determined by the choices that we make daily. Now, what examples does the Bible give about sanctification? We read in the book of John, chapter 17, and verses 17 to 19, Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. The life of Jesus Christ is the best example of sanctification that any human being can have on this earth. Jesus explained that he was sanctified through the truth, that we might also be sanctified through the truth. As man's substitute and example, he lived a perfect and holy life through the power of the Holy Spirit in obedience to his Father's words, so that he could have the right to empower us to be obedient to his words. Jesus shows us how holy and pure a man can be, even though he lives in fallen human flesh, through God's word, through the power of the Holy Spirit. We read in the book of 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 1 to 5. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which, according to his abundant mercy, hath begotten us again unto a lively hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God, through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. The Apostle Peter writes that the Christians who were scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Asia, Bithynia, were elect according to the foreknowledge of God, through sanctification of the Spirit. And please pay careful notice, listeners, what they were sanctified unto. They were sanctified unto obedience. Obedience to the truth. Obedience to God's law, to his word. This shows that true Christian believers are purified by the Spirit of God, sanctified by him to stop sinning. And notice how this is accomplished. This is accomplished through the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Thus we see once again that all true Christian believers receive the righteousness of Christ, his holiness, his life, his love, through his word, through the power of the Holy Spirit, by faith, to be obedient to him. Notice that the believers were kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. And so we see that all true Christian believers know what it means to have Christ's love and power dwelling in the heart by faith, empowering them to gain victory over evil. We will have a break for some music and come back with some closing thoughts.
Just the time. gentle arms of Jesus warm my hunger to behold.
For our closing thoughts this evening, I will read from a book called The Acts of the Apostles, pages 555, 559, sorry, to 560, by Ellen G. White. True sanctification comes through the working out of the principle of love. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. The life of him in whose heart Christ abides will reveal practical godliness. The character will be purified, elevated, ennobled, and glorified. Pure doctrine will blend with works of righteousness. Heavenly precepts will mingle with holy practices. Those who would gain the blessing of sanctification must first learn the meaning of self-sacrifice. The cross of Christ is the central pillar on which hangs the far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. If any man will come after me, Christ says, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. It is the fragrance of our love for our fellow men that reveals our love for God. It is patience in service that brings rest to the soul. It is through humble, diligent, faithful toil that the welfare of Israel is promoted. God upholds and strengthens the one who is willing to follow in Christ's way. Sanctification is not the work of a moment, an hour, a day, but of a lifetime. It is not gained by a happy flight of feeling, but is the result of constantly dying to sin and constantly living for Christ. Wrongs cannot be righted, nor reformations wrought in the character by feeble, intermittent efforts. It is only by long, persevering effort, sore discipline, and stern conflict that we shall overcome. We know not one day how strong will be our conflict the next. So long as Satan reigns, we shall have self to subdue, besetting sins to overcome. So long as life shall last, there will be no stopping place, no point which we can reach and say, I have fully attained. Sanctification is the result of lifelong obedience. So listeners, as we close our study this evening, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for your word and for teaching us, Lord, that we are sanctified through your word, through your Holy Spirit, unto obedience. Heavenly Father, I pray that we would have faith in your power to save us from our sins. That we would have faith that any moment we can gain victory over sin if we trust in your love and power. If we believe that you've, Lord, not only pardoned our sins, but also have given us the power to be cleansed from sin continually if we would trust in you and in your word. And I pray, Lord, for every single person listening in the show who's battling daily against evil thoughts and desires, Lord, that they would trust in you. And Lord, press on in the battle, knowing that as long as we rely upon your grace, victory can be gained. So Heavenly Father, thank you once more for this opportunity to share your word. It's our prayer in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Listeners, if you have any questions or if you would like more information, please send an email to inquiries@wildernesspublications.org. You can send a text message to 07944-062-786. If you have the Android app for Voice in the Wilderness Internet Radio, go to the ebook section and find the title Bible Readings for the Home. At chapter 28, you'll find the subject Bible Sanctification. This section will give you more information about today's topic. You can also listen to and download our radio show podcasts at https://voice-in-the-wilderness.podcastpage.io. You can also find our podcasts on Spotify. Search for Voice in the Wilderness Internet Radio by Wilderness Productions. If you would like to support Voice in the Wilderness Internet Radio financially, then please send your donation through our website at vitwradio.org. Click on the page called About Us. You can donate to us there. On next week's show, for part three of this series about victory over sin, we will discuss how justification and sanctification are inseparable. Well, that's it for tonight's show. Until next week, listeners, good night and God bless.
Voice in the Wilderness, Internet Radio. Enlightening the world every week.
It's not just knowing about the doctrine in the Bible. That is not what we stand for here.
Streaming powerful, biblically-based messages live and on the Internet.
This congregation may never be gathered together again as we see it.
Voice in the Wilderness, Internet Radio. Enlightening the world every week.